Hello, folks. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm John Saxberg here, your host here at Revival Now. I want to talk today about your spiritual authority given to you by the Holy Spirit. What is that given Holy Spirit authority? And this is going to be in a four-part series. This is a four-part message I'm going to do. It's going to be throughout the week. I'm going to preach this. I may even preach this even in the Sunday. Sunday's message. I want to talk, knock the headset down, but oh well, they're not connected. Anyway, what is our authority, our spiritual authority given to us by the Holy Spirit? That authority that's been placed about allowing the authority of the Holy Spirit to reign through us. It's about allowing the Holy Spirit to be made manifest in us, through us, and allowing the work of ministry to be done. I mean, pastors, we've got a problem here in today's society. We have pastors that don't have any balls. Basically, we had some stupid moron apologizing to his congregation for praying for Donald Trump. Are you serious? I mean, you lack authority. You lack the authority of the Holy Spirit. They're preaching some antichrist message. Let's preach comfortable to them all. Let's keep them happy. Let's keep smiles on their faces. Let's not convict them any of what they're doing. I mean, to me, these snowflakes. They're not operating their church. They're not running their churches. These senior pastors now aren't running their churches. They're snowflake congregations. They're not leading. They're the lead. They're becoming the lead. Being led by their congregation that's backwards. They are putting the carriage before the horse. The tail doesn't follow the head. I mean, seriously. I mean, the tail doesn't wag the dog. The dog wags the tail. I mean, we've got, this is prime example of what Jesus did here. Go with me to the book of Luke chapter 4. I want to talk about this even more. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Spirit, returned to Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days. And being tempted by the devil, and he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said unto him, "You are the Son of God. Command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." And the devil took him up on and showed, first of all, he tried to get Jesus to question who he was. If you're the Son of God, if you have the Holy Spirit in you, these pastors are, and these pastors are just answering to the call. I mean, left and right. I mean, they don't know what they're taught. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know how to lead. They don't know how to, I mean, they're gutless. They're spineless. They don't have no backbone to them. They lack authority. I mean, seriously, this has gotten out of hand. It's time to put the end to this stuff. I mean, you don't go into Pastor Rodney's church. You never see in Pastor Rodney's church. Go into Pastor Rodney's church and try to play the snowflake game and see how long you last inside that church. He'd kick you so far out on the I-75, your head would spin. I'm serious. You'd be kicked out on I-75 in a heartbeat. It's I-4. Never mind. Sorry, my bad. I-4. You'd be out on the I-4. before you know it, you'd probably land on your head. If you're the Son of God, make these rocks into a loaf of into loaves of bread. Jesus said, "It is written, men should not live by bread alone, but by every word of the mouth of God." Means there means to stand your authority. It is written. Jesus said, "It is written." I mean, you got pastors that question their own leadership. They're not taking the role of the senior pastor. They're calling themselves lead pastors. I'm just going to be a lead pastor. You're not leading anything. They're not leading anything. They're being led by the congregation. The congregation is the lead. I mean, seriously, they don't teach people about speaking in new tongues. They don't talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is written, man shall live by bread alone. And the devil took him up on and showed him the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and said to him, "To you I will give you this authority and their glory, for it shall be delivered unto me. I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me." Jesus, that's another thing. They're worshiping an Antichrist spirit. They're not worshiping. They're not teaching people. I mean, they're questioning their own authority. They're sidestepping the authority given to them by the Holy Spirit. I mean, Matthew and John Hagee, prime example. Pastor Rodney, Bishop Oyedepo. I mean, you've got plenty of people that I can think of off the top of my head. I mean, you don't just walk in their church and act like you're going to be the lead of it. Oh, we got other people leading our direction. No, you need to lead. That is your position. That is not anybody else's position but yours. God called you to be a senior pastor for a reason. Not a lead pastor, not a head pastor, not a co-lead pastor. I mean, I've seen so much and it's like, you have no clue. You know, I mean, I just want to laugh. He is the senior pastor. He is the authority of Christ. The authority given to him is through the power of the Holy Spirit, and he's the one that determines everything. There's nobody else in authority but him. And everybody follows afterwards. And you get too many people threatening these pastors. Well, if you start preaching on the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, we'll just quit tithing. You start talking about speaking in tongues, we'll quit tithing. You can start bringing revivalists in here, we'll quit tithing. We'll just won't give because we don't want. Or if you teach people, or you encourage people to come in here like they think they own the place, like the congregation thinks they own the place, walk around like they own the place. Not calling the pastor by his title that was given to him. Oh, well, just so, they're like say, Steve, like the pastor, say for instance, the pastor's name Stephen Michelle, Pastor Stephen Michelle White, as an example. Oh, well, Stephen Michelle this, Stephen Michelle that, Stephen Michelle this, Stephen Michelle that, Stephen Michelle, Stephen Michelle to Stephen Michelle. Excuse you? You have a senior pastor. You call him by his, you address him by the God-given rank that's been given to him. You don't just walk around calling him just, it's like when people, I heard people go around saying, well, Rick said this, well, Rick said that, when my pastor, my old senior pastor was Rick Shelton, Pastor Rick Shelton. And you'd hear people say, well, Rick this and Rick that, Rick and this and Rick that. I'm thinking, it's not Rick. It's not Rick. It's Pastor Rick. It's not just Donna. It's Pastor Donna. They deserve, yet it's so disrespectful. And so, it defaces the Holy Spirit. The office of the Holy Spirit in them. That office of pastor is in them for life. It is branded into their life. And if you don't have enough respect to call them by their name, then you need to get on and go someplace else. And allow somebody else to be used in position that will respect and honor their name. And honor who they are, and the honor of the office of the Holy Spirit in their life that's been branded in their life. I mean, I hate it beyond measure. People say, "Oh, Josh and Tori." It's not Josh and Tori. It's Pastor Josh and Pastor Tori. I mean, seriously. I mean, where do people get off? I mean, they're bullying. Pastors are being bullied and to no end. It's a spirit. This is an all out attack. What's going on in America, in the American church? And it's taught to strip the pastors of their titles. It's to strip the pastors of their authority. When you don't give the show proper respect for their authority, it defaces them, and nobody wants to. Everybody's following in your example and calling them that too. You're basically teaching other people to devalue and deface that pastor. I mean, and Jesus said to him, it's written. You shall worship your Lord, your God alone, and him only you shall serve. And he took him to Jerusalem to set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you and to guard you, and their hands will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone. He's sitting there saying, trying to use, the devil have used whatever the pastor, their own authority against him. The devil's basically using their own authority against them and making them, first, they're doubting who they are. Secondly, they're going after their identity in Christ. And thirdly, they're just making them feel like they're beneath the congregation. I mean, this is time, pastors, wake up. Pastors need to wake up. This is not an hour to play around. It says, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You'll cast out devils in my name. You will speak in new tongues. You'll be baptized in the Holy Ghost and with fire. I mean, and it goes on and on and on. There's an assignment here. There's an assignment to be carried out, and that's part of the assignment. You shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. They shall be baptized in the Holy Ghost. They will speak in new tongues. They will cast out devils in my name. And it goes on and on and on. And Jesus never backed down off his authority, not one bit. Why are pastors doing this? Because they want to make sure that they please the crowd? Pastors, you need to listen to this. What I'm saying here, you're committing spiritual suicide. You're committing suicide. You're assassinating the call that's on your life. When you're sitting out there and allowing people to dictate what you do in that pulpit. Well, we don't want to, I'm just scared I'm going to run the big tithers off. Because if the big tithers go, then there's nothing. if God, if you're operating under the Holy Ghost, you don't have to worry about the tithers, who the tithers are. God will supernaturally provide everything you're needing and meet every single need that you need. To whom he guides, he provides, and to whom he leads, he feeds. I've never seen the righteous forsake begging for bread, nor be forsaken of their seed. You've got to get to the call of God on your, stick to the call of God on your life. And you got to quit letting people push you around. These snowflake Christians, if they don't like how they don't like what you're preaching, point to the big red sign at the back of the sanctuary and tell them to make good use of it. And don't let, like Brother Sean said, don't let the door hit you with a good Lord split you. Put your foot down. Don't allow these religious jackasses to push you around and to dictate what you do in your congregate in your pulpit. Stand your ground, put your foot down, stand your authority. Hold your the authority of the Holy Spirit inside of you. You've got to quit allowing these people to bully you. These liberal snowflake jackass Christians, they want to go out and they want to go be seeker sensitive. They can burn in hell by themselves. If they don't want to follow the full gospel of Jesus Christ, let them go off and perish. If they're that dumb that they don't think that they need the whole baptism of the Holy Spirit, they don't need the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, that they don't need the demonstration of the Holy Spirit, let them go. Let them go on their own. I guarantee you, once you let them go, they'll be on their face. They'll be coming back dragging and begging for what you have to give them. Let them walk out of there, because once they're out there on their own and they're away from it and they're in the secret sense of services of their own, they're choosing, eventually they're going to grow up and smoke or come back dragging and begging you for to teach them the right way. I mean, seriously, this has got to stop. There is a lack of authority. There is people who run revival out because they don't want to offend the Billy Big Givers. Let Billy Big Givers pack up and leave with their big old buckets of big bucks. I mean, seriously, this has got to end in the church. We've got to contend for the things of the Holy Spirit. We've got to contend for the things of God. We've got to be contenders for revival. We've always got to be contenders for revival. This is about people. This is a matter of heaven and hell. And a bunch of snowflake Christians are driving people straight into hell because they don't want nobody in their church. They don't want nobody knowing about their church because their church is their secret and that's their place. And they don't want no sinners. They don't want prostitutes. They don't want people who are bound by drugs in their church. They don't want people who are gays or lesbians sitting next to them in church and get, God forbid, they get set free. Where do you think they're supposed to go? The tavern? We don't want any alcoholics in church. You know what? I won this guy over years ago. This guy I was ministering to. It was on the streets of Ybor City, and this guy was drunk off his butt. I witnessed to him. I invited him to church. I invited him to come to church. I can never forget. His name was Leo Pomater. Sloshing out of his mind. Well, years goes by after I won this. I go back down to the river Tampa Bay. It was in 2005. It was a minister. It was they were having the ministers' conference. It was called Calling All Evangelists. It was like pre-camp meeting type deal. And then I turned around and I had a tap on the shoulder. He says, "Hey," and I'm looking. And it's Leo. He's sobered up. He's off alcohol. He's all clean shaven. He's got his marriage put back together. All because what? Because somebody reached their hand out and didn't turn somebody away because they didn't want it. They didn't worry about their consumerness. They didn't want to protect their consumership. One, when you become born-again Christian, you no longer become a consumership. You become a distributorship. If you're a born-again believer, you need to be out doing something to win souls over. You need to be out doing something to get the message of the Lord Jesus Christ out. Whether you're doing an online broadcast and a podcast, each one of these messages, each one of these broadcasts, I do a personal invitation to invite people to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. This broadcast don't just stay on my page. It goes out all over Facebook Watches, which is an international market. It goes out into an international feed. It goes out all over the world. Same with this. This is on an international scale. It's an international broadcast. This is an international ministry. I mean, this is what God called me to be. This is what God called me to do. He called me to be a revivalist, and he called me to do this broadcast. I'm not going to let any jackass walk in here and tell me how to correct what I need to do around here, because this mic here, this thing here, I'm the one with the mic clipped on here. I'm the one that's being put on. If I have a guest, they act accordingly. The guest I'll bring in here to broadcast with me, they know to respect my authority, the Holy Spirit authority that's on my life for this broadcast. It's like when I had Corey Queen on here, which he's going to be on here again. I'm going to bring him on here again shortly. He was sitting under here. He respected my role. Me and him have a mutual respect for each other. We get on each other's nerves here and there, but it's usual. Two friends do with each other. Two good friends do to each other just for fun. But we have a mutual respect here. He knows that this is my authority. This is the authority that God has given me to run this broadcast. He knows that I have a strict standards. He knows I'm not into religious worship. But that's what the problem is with people, is they take pastors for granted. They've started to take the pastor's role for granted, because the pastors would never step up to their own plate. So they're letting other people lead. They're letting other people lead because they don't have enough confidence to lead themselves. I told God, I said, if I go for the first 10 years of this broadcast without having a single guest on, I'm fine with it. I'm fine. It went for 3 years before I had somebody come on here. But, I mean, this is, I'm not going to hold back on what I need to say here. It is written. When you were born again, you are to be a soul winner. You become called to ministry. It is written that you, when you get born again, you shall receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's not, do you want to? If not, that's okay. Pastors are teaching that, oh, we don't want to offend people by teaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We don't want to offend people and make people feel uncomfortable by speaking in tongues. I let them be an option. It's not an option. It's in the Word. It is completely, everything that is completely written in this Word is to be abided by. It's to be upheld. It's to be upheld and to be carried out. I mean, you get these idiot preachers that preach oh, well, you the drive people into bondage with all this generational curse talk. I mean, there are abuse of authority like that. That is abuse of authority. That's we're operating under man's authority. That's man making people inferiority to him by misusing the word of God. That's abuse of the scripture. God doesn't work like that. The Holy Spirit, who the Son sets free is free indeed. The curse of sin is broken when you become born again. I mean, you got other people like that, too, that are over-authoritative. They think that they've got to be over you, and they're too scared of being overshadowed, so they got to talk about all these demons that this person supposedly has. They're play devils, for one. If you want to see real devils, I can drop these. I'll be more than happy to hook them up with Mike Francine. I'll get Mike Francine right now, and I'll have Mike Francine take them over to West Africa and all these other tribal nations over Africa, where they're dancing around with swords through their heart and their torsos, and they're setting themselves on fire and dancing around a fire and demonic influences. I mean, I could, some stuff that'll scare the whites off your teeth. I'll take you over. I mean, I'll go with them. You want to play with these play devils and want to put and use it to keep Christians in bondage? Keep new believers in bondage because they don't know any better? I'll be more than happy to. Just name the time and date, and I'll send them with you. Send you with them. I mean, we've got to get back to business of being serious, meaning business with God. I mean, preachers need to get back to meaning business with God. They need to quit playing games. People are tired of these pastors that are playing games. They want something real. They want answers for what's going on in their lives. They want answers of what's going on. Churches are not even teaching soul winning anymore. Oh, we just don't want to offend people. We don't want to just go out and put a public display like that. Excuse you? I mean, go tell that to Jonathan Shuttlesworth, who won quite a few thousand people over to the Lord. Even when people were trying to shut him down, he kept going and going and going. He won thousands upon thousands of the Lord in his Festival of Life crusades. They were taking his operation permits away, and he kept going. You couldn't shut the guy down. The one time they shut him down, they stopped him from operating the park. The owner of a big old massive huge playhouse, this big old opera house, came up to him and said, "Hey, you need a place to go? Just pack it up and come over to my place." He finished that whole crusade out. He kept going. You can't shut the gospel down. And one, you got to quit worrying about who you're going to offend. People are going to be offended regardless, so you might as well just do it anyway. Well, you don't understand. We don't like that revival thing. It's just not our preference. It's not a preference. Revival is not a preference. Revival is a demand. It is a must. Tell that to the people on the day of Pentecost. Revival. We don't need revival in our nation. Are you serious? I mean, we've got ISIS setting up camps all over the country. We've got the Patriot Act in place. You don't hardly have any rights because of all that big cabal and everything, what the cabal did. We're electing presidents like Obama into office. People like Hillary Clinton running for office, and then when she gets elected, you get these attention seekers out there holding up signs and screaming. Flipping up the middle finger. Acting all goofy. I mean, seriously. Who are you trying not to offend? Please enlighten me. What is your... What I mean, they're going to be offended anyway. The Pharisees were always offended at Jesus. You'd think the Pharisees, people were mocking, the Pharisees were ticked on the day of Pentecost. They were all mocking. They mocked and scoffed. Like, what are these people, drunk? And Peter stood up and said, these people are, these you are not drunk as you suppose, being that that's the third hour of the day. Before this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. What happened to the Peters in this nation? In the ministry. Ones that had to stand up and make a declaration. I mean, things were going good in the 90s, and then people started getting offended. And of course, there was, and on the flip side, too, when revival comes, the Holy Spirit doesn't make you balk like a chicken. It doesn't make you meow like a cat, roar like a lion, bark like a dog, quack like a duck. Doesn't make you go up and climb up on top of the church building and jump off thinking you're going to fly off. It doesn't tell you to go divorce your wife and leave her for one of the worship leader team leaders. The Bible, it doesn't tell you to go abandon your wife and kids and go travel and quit your job and follow the traveling evangelist, follow Rodney Howard Brown all over the country. It doesn't happen. It's not what happens. And Pastor Rodney will even vouch for what I'm saying right now. I mean, we've got to get back into that, in that place where we're letting the Holy Spirit take over. People don't want to preach on the being drunk on the Holy Ghost. Well, it makes people feel uncomfortable when people are laughing and crying because, you know, Jesus never acted that way ever. Oh, really? But the people he touched did. I said the people he touched did. People were laughing, crying, praising, rejoicing. Think about the mother of Jairus' daughter who died and Jesus raised her from the dead. Do you think that woman was bawling her eyes out? The people who were starving, and a little boy offers his two-piece fish dinner, and Jesus fed the multitude. Do you think the people were rejoicing over that? Come on, folks. It's time to wake up. It's time to get with the program. I mean, these pastors need to grow a set of balls. We've got to stand our ground and our authority for what's right and for what God wants, for what honors God and not honors the people. We're too worried about honoring people. We're just worried about making sure nobody gets offended, making sure nobody wants to get discouraged and pushed away because let's just preach some simple little message, some little lullaby to them, and let's send them on their way. When they're not even feeling fulfilled, I mean, it's supposed to be an empowerment. It's supposed to be, you know, a recharge. Well, you don't understand, we don't want to go all that long of a service. We don't want to do a 3 or 4 hour service because we don't want, you know, people have got to go out and spend time with, and we want Sunday to be about the family. Families don't get together anymore. Are you kidding me? What's going to bring them together is do a 4 or 5 hour church service, 6 hour church service. Let the presence of God be poured out. Let the power of God start touching people and healing people and delivering people and setting people free. If there's nobody coming to the altar for salvation, and I say altar, you need to bring them up. I mean, you got to bring that, you need to bring, have people come up to that altar and line up against that altar and give their life to the Lord Jesus Christ by lining up at that altar. If they need healing, The pastor needs to get down and start laying hands on people. And allowing the presence of God to touch them people. And those who need prayer, want to lift hands laid on them, let them get laid hands laid on them. Start laying hands on people. People want to get up and leave because they don't believe in that falling out stuff. Let them leave. God'll increase your congregation. God'll bless you. He'll increase your congregation. Stop letting other people lead for you. Take the lead that God has given you. I mean, one thing I've learned from Dr. Rodney over the years is never let anybody lead for you. If God puts you in a place to lead a ministry, you lead that ministry. You don't let anybody else lead it. God has placed you in the authority. He's given you that leadership, not anybody else. I'm serious. I'm not here to try to beat people up. I'm here just because I want to see people win. I want to see pastors flourish. I want to see their church walls burst open at the seams with new believers and raising people up to go out and preach the gospel and multiplying the kingdom of God. I mean, what else can I say? I'm not on here because I'm just wanting something to complain about. I've got something to say because there's a problem in the church. There's a huge problem. We have a huge problem. Too many pastors are growing cold. They're getting empty. They're running low. They're giving in. I'm serious. I mean, I could sugarcoat this thing to make it sound nice and pretty if you want, but I'm not going to sugarcoat it because it's not going to be the truth. We've got to contend for the things of God. I mean, start learning how to lead. Start learning how to lead. Stop letting other people lead for you. Cry out to God for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Cry out to God for to send him a revivalist your way that'll come in and shake the place up. Sometimes it has to take an outside source. Why does revival have to come from a revivalist? Because the dead can't raise the dead. You got to have somebody that's full of the Holy Ghost to come in there and shake that place up and jolt that thing. It's like them paddles. You rub the paddles, rub the gel together, stick it on their heart. As soon as that hit, that jolt hits and it revives that person. That person, it's awakened to the things of God. You gotta bring somebody in, or they'll bring the awakening in. They'll bring in that's full of the Holy Ghost, that has the impartation of the Holy Spirit. To bring that impartation, and if God uses people for it. Well, revival happen on its own. He uses it. He uses people, human vessels, to bring revival into a house. It's all throughout church history. All throughout church history. Time and time again, he raised up somebody, he sent them in, they came in, the power of God hit, and the place was bursting at the seams. 1993, Lakeland, Florida. He sends Dr. Rodney Howard Brown into Carpenter's Home Church. The place couldn't hardly fit anybody in there. I mean, it was only fit only there was, I mean, there was only like a few hundred people showing up at that church. They built this big old mass mega church building, which I think it was, I mean, I have my own opinions on it, but anyway, the Carpenter's Home Church, God told him, Pastor Carl Strader, to actually build this place and build this huge mega church, and he only had a couple hundred people. Brings Dr. Rodney Howard Brown, and by the end of the week, the place was packed to the ceiling, to the floor. I mean, this place was just, and it stayed that way for a while, and then the division came, and they split the church up, they sold it all off to people who had it, divorced, and split up, and it went up on auction, nobody wanted to buy it, and now it's a pile of rubble somewhere in a landfill. Got torn down, and it was done. But bottom line is, it took an outside source to increase that church. It had nothing to do with Pastor Rodney. It's called, the other leaders failed to stand up and lead, and that's what happened. Carl's, I mean, I'm not going to go into the full history of it, but after Pastor Carl stepped down and retired, the other pastors that were taking over refused to lead, and lo and behold, look what happened. Perfect example. It says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me in Judea, Jerusalem, Judea, and the uttermost Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. It doesn't mean you should go to church and that you get saved and that's it. You get saved and that's it. You don't become full of power. You don't go witnessing to people. You don't go, well, that's just only for certain churches. Oh, hogwash. What a load of crap. I mean, what moron comes up with this stuff? I mean, we've got to put our foot down. We've got to stand our authority. Amen. And I want to end this. I want to close this broadcast out by saying this: when you're giving a place of leadership, you don't let other people dictate what you do. You don't come in there. You don't come in. You don't go into another place. You don't go. I don't say this. You don't let other people come in and dictate what you do. You don't let them come in and lead for you. You stand up and lead. If they don't want to let you lead, and they want to bully you, you give them the foot fellowship out the front door. Bottom line, just kick them out. God'll give you more people. Kick them out. You just got to learn to not tolerate things. We've become a more tolerable church, a sicker sensitive church, and that's not what the Lord Jesus Christ called us up. We've got to put our foot down, stand our ground. Amen. And I also want to give you this opportunity. People are watching this broadcast, and they want to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to say this prayer with me, dear Father God. I come to you in the name of your Son Jesus to be forgiven of my sins. Thank you, Father God, that you said in your word that if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that you raised Jesus from the dead, that I shall be saved. Lord Jesus, thank you for washing me with your blood. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Holy Spirit, come and baptize me. Fill me, use me, and let me never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Said that prayer with me. You have now become a citizen of heaven. Congratulations, you are now born again of the kingdom. I'm going to get going. This is a production of This is a production of Revival Now International Media Ministries. For more information on our ministry, please email me at revivalistjfs3@gmail.com or text or call 636-368-6490. God bless you and have a great day.